right, testing, 1, 2. Well, now, wait just a minute, man. All right.
Suggest what you can do with that promotion.
Colonel Dax, you will apologize at once or I shall be placed under arrest.
I apologize for not being entirely honest with you. I apologize for not revealing my true feelings. I apologize, sir, for not telling you sooner that you're a degenerate, sadistic old man. And you can go to hell before I apologize to you now or ever again.
Since the publication of the book 25 years ago, no one dared to make this movie. It was too shocking, too frank.
What sort of casualties do you anticipate, sir?
Say 5% killed by our own barrage. It's a very generous allowance. 10% more in getting through no man's land, and 20% more getting through the wire. That leaves 65%, with the worst part of the job over. Let's say another 25% in actually taking the anthill. We're still left with a force more than adequate to hold it.
General, you're saying that more than half my men will be killed.
Aside from the inescapable fact that a good many of your men never left the trenches, there's the question of the troops' morale. Don't forget that.
The troops' morale?
Certainly. These executions will be a perfect tonic for the entire division. There are few things more fundamentally encouraging and stimulating than seeing someone else die.
Where in heaven's name are they?
On the left.
Where are the rest? Zero plus one and they're still in the trenches. They're not advancing. Miserable cowards. They're not advancing. The barrage is getting away from them. They're still in the trenches.
Yes, sir.
Captain Nichols.
Yes, sir.
Order the 75s to commence firing on our own positions.
So I just showed you that because that was a Kubrick movie made in 1956, 3 years after that piece of shit we saw on Saturday Cinema. 3 years after he made that Fear and Desire, he made that in 1956, 57. How the fuck, first of all, how did he get a studio to, he must have shown some amazing, like, some amazing growth in that period. I don't know how it works, but, you know, because I don't know about making movies, but somebody came up with the money to make that film, and that was a smasheroo. I don't know how it did at the box office. It's considered a classic. I've seen it like five fucking times. That's how good it is. As a war movie, it holds up like stellar, but it's a Kubrick movie. You can take that whole, the way he, that whole camera view that you have with Kubrick, where it looks like you're seeing through the eyes of an alien, somebody described it once. It's when you look at a Kubrick movie, it's as if you're looking through the eyes of someone who just landed on the planet Earth and is looking at these, whatever the fuck these things are, these humans, and looking at the shit they're doing, you know. But, and also Tim Curry is in this thing, and he's that soldier that I think you saw being led to the firing post. He ad-libbed all of that. To me, he's my hero. He didn't have any lines in that scene as he's being led to the post where they tie it to execute you. Because this is based on a true story. The French selected, I don't know how many men, after a very pivotal battle was lost, to be executed at random. And it was to show the rest of the troops that, you know, We accede to your demands. Basically, the troops said we have bad leadership. They didn't mutiny. They didn't do anything quite like that, but they said, you know, we're not going to go out and die for these shit battle plans and these shit officers. So a whole new command came about at the French Army midway through the war, World War One, and they began to, you know, get a head of steam up. Of course, the Americans come in and helped. But just to show the soldiers that, you know, you don't get away with this shit, they executed a number of them, selected at random. I believe I've got the story right. And this is based on that, this movie. But Tim Curry, in that scene, as he's being walked to the post, it had no lines. But he said, you know, he said, fuck it, you know. He starts going, oh, I don't want to die. He's doing this whole number, man. And the other actor is responding to him, you know, the priest. See, come on now, just be quiet. You know, that was about as real a scene as you're going to get. And Kubrick kept it in. That takes some fucking balls, man. Maybe at that time, though, in 56, Kubrick wasn't, he wasn't a Stanley Kubrick that, you know, made 2001. He sure as shit wasn't a Stanley Kubrick that, you know, that he eventually became, you know. So maybe Carrie's like, I don't give a fuck who this director is. You're going to have me fucking just walk into this goddamn thing not saying anything. He says, this guy's about to die. So anyway, it's a bunch of bullshit. So today is our encore day, Tuesday, the 31st. So I'm going to go over to my thing. So interestingly, I played that trailer off of YouTube. You can buy or rent the movie on YouTube. So YouTube is now in the rental and, you know, purchasing business, just like Prime, you know, Amazon Prime and those guys. I got Hulu. I got it all, man. I like movies. I like rare movies. Oh, I got to tell you about a movie I just saw the other day. It's a documentary. This is insane. It's a documentary about a guy who took his banker hostage, walked down the middle of the street in Indianapolis, Indiana in 1977 with a shotgun tied around this guy's neck and what was called a dead man line, meaning, and I don't know what that is, but apparently he had wire around the guy's neck, wire to the trigger, and wire to him. So if he got shot by the police and fell, the trigger would go off. He'd blow this guy's head off. And he also had the bolt covered so nobody could reach in, no cop could get in there and try to, you know... And it's crazy. And he gave this unhinged fucking press conference. I'm not going to tell you what happened, but it's crazy, man. It happened in 1977, February of 77. And one of the TV reporters, I said, that's Paul Udell. Paul Udell was on Channel 2 in L.A., and he eventually made his way to Indianapolis and was one of the reporters on scene for this crazy fucking thing with this guy. And they got TV cameras. This dude is on live television, motherfucker this and fuck that and fuck you. And I mean, it's like in those days, you didn't hear that shit at all. Serious. The name of the documentary is called Dead Man Line. It's named after that wire that he had connected to the guy's throat. I've got such a bad, I'm always giving away movies, so I won't do it. Cause people will be pissed at me if I do. I'm also toying with the idea, and maybe BSPs can give me a hand on this, rolling out more of the archives for free. Not for free, but as a daily pod, you know, as one of our daily podcasts, like instead of just the old archive shit, like we just rolled out one last week, rolling out more, like one a week, maybe. But I don't know. We used to do it, and then we pulled back from it. I don't want to devalue your experience, man. You dig what I'm saying? You dig what I'm putting down? You know what? Two more days, and when we go back a year, we'll be going back to 2019. All right. So we're here in December, right? The 31st. Was I here? Is it a best of? Will we have to go back to another show? What? If you have a BSP, the pre-show is not to be missed. It's a classic from October 97, the one-year KFI anniversary. Our main show is a Christmas week encore from Hawaii, December 2015. Shit. Okay, so I got to go fucking dig back to the 17th. This is going to be a weekend show, I know. So what are you guys doing today, man? I got a feature on my TV. They now offer NBA basketball. Okay, so the 31st was a Sunday. Let's go to the 2016. This is going to be a... I'll find something. They've got 5 or 6 or 7 NBA games every night you can buy. I'm not that much of an NBA fan, but hey, it's a little tempting, some of the games. Saturday Cinema was DOA. That was December 31st, 2016. 2015, we already played, so we got to go back to 2014. This will be interesting. There we go. We got another best of show. The Women of the Filler Show. What the fuck? That was 2014. Let's see, 2013 then. 2013. December 2013. I know there was a lot going on. I just can't place exactly what I was doing. Happy New Year's. Phil's back live on January 2nd. Okay, so let's do... I just wonder if 2012 is a video cast. I don't remember.
I don't remember, you know.
It's the best of. Oh, you know what was happening? The LA Tan versus Utah in the Hillbilly Football Conference. That's funny. What is this? What if I played this game? I don't even know if there's a video that goes with it. I think there is. There is no goddamn video. We could play this stream. We could stream the game. That would be fun, wouldn't it?
From the Beaver Dome in Salt Lake City, this is the first ever Dickman Bowl for 2012. And this is Jack Iagner along with Brett Morrison, ready to call you the play-by-play and all the exciting pageantry and color and all that stuff here from Salt Lake City, Utah.
The Beaver Dome.
The Utah Flaming Cavalry come in here and take on the L.A. Tan. The L.A. Tan, technically the home team for this one, as they did have a technical higher seed than Utah, but Utah playing in front of their home crowd, so it'll be an interesting ball game, that's for sure.
Yeah, the Utah Flaming Cavalry, wearing their visiting colors, playing their home state, is kind of weird.
It is kind of weird. Speaking of weird, Larry McKinney is on the sidelines for the ball game to call the play-by-play. Larry, how you doing down there?
Hey, this is Larry McKinney down here on the side. I'm doing real good.
Larry, what are the feelings from the locker rooms?
Well, I can tell you that everybody's getting hyped up and excited, and we can go into the locker room right now. Do we have that ready? Okay, let's go down to L.A. locker room.
Fuck it, let's do it, man. Let's roll it. Who gives a shit? Huh? I think it'd be raging, man. And I know exactly. We'll just put our goddamn football stuff up, man. Right. Wait a minute, I know where I got it. I gotta do a whole bunch of fucking groundwork here first. If I'm gonna do a video, which people expect a video of some kind, don't they? Now, I know what I'm doing here. Now you know pretty much what I used to do as a kid, you know, when I'd just feel like, and my little sister would be there. She'd be laughing. So that's kind of, Marianne was my main audience for like years. Years and years, that kid. It was the least I could do because I was such a fucking asshole as an older brother. I had a lot of anger issues and shit. Yeah, fuck it, man. This is a long guy. Look at this guy. Look at this shit here, man. The fuck is this?
It's going to be interesting, you know, because you see, there's a couple of things here that I do want. Wait. There's a clip of a football game that I think would go rather handsomely.
Yeah, there is. Where'd the bloody thing go? That's all. That's my only concern. Where is it? I need it now. Where is it, man? Wait, I just... All right, sorry that you guys are... But this is, like I say, this is our pre-show. Wait a minute, man. Cancel. Cancel that shit. Where'd it go? Oh, there it is. Found it. found it. Oh, really? I can't do that? All right. Remove. Oh, that's interesting. All right. Well, let me see something here. I thought I could. So you're telling me that no, I can't, huh? And Marshall's running the wrong way. He's running the wrong way. Well, all right. We'll just have to do this. Oh, fuck. This is taking way too fucking long, man, for this chicken shit. Oops, what time is it? 20 goddamn minutes. All right. That's all? Fucking, I played that big long trailer. All right. Is this the Utah Flaming Cavalry? What is this game? I don't know. I'll just do a bunch of shit, you know. You know, just a lot of horse shit, man. Yeah, all right, that's groovy. All right, so this ought to be pretty interesting. We're going to play the Dickman Bowl from 2012, New Year's Eve 2012, the L.A. Tan and the Utah Flaming Cavalry. What kind of a setup we had in terms of the playoffs? I think it was just all, you know, there were two divisions, but then we just seeded everything, you know. Everybody else was, we 1 and 2 were the two division leaders, and then the rest were, Linda Ronstadt's being interviewed here on New Year's, for tomorrow, by, what's his face, and she looks completely bemused. This is the way she's looking at Anderson Cooper. She's looking at him like he's the strangest motherfucker she's ever seen in her life. All right, wait a minute, man. Wait a minute, man. Right? Oh, you know what I gotta do? Don't you fuck that up, man. Yeah. I always forget to put the duration, you know. You gotta put the right duration of the time. Because you gotta, you know, do it. I don't know. Okay. So what we're gonna do today is something we did once before, but I don't remember when. This will be an hour and 13 minutes, I think, is the game total. There's commercials, there's station identifications, there's all kinds of shit. I'll do an intro for it. And then we'll just fly, man. We will fly, you know, like that cat behind me just was. So the name of this Linda Ronstadt thing is called The Sound of My Voice. So is she producing this? Well, good for her. You know, bless her heart. I like Linda Ronstadt. I like the very first song ever Linda Ronstadt do was Different Drum when she was with that little group, the Stone Ponies. That's who they thought they were. That was the Stone Ponies. I didn't know there was a Linda Ronstadt. Then she came out. I don't know what the next song was that she came out with. And I don't, you know, You're No Good. I remember that whole album in 78, 79. I was at K West and Steve Downs was, what was Steve doing? Was he doing Nights? I think he came on after me, something like that. I think I was doing Afternoon Drive, and Steve came on at 6 o'clock at night, yeah. And we had a playlist that was just for shit. I mean, we did not have a good situation in terms of the music. I mean, we played the right songs, but it was fucked up. So we're like, Lita, you don't kick off a fucking hour on a rock station with Blue Bayou by Linda Ronstadt, but that's what our program director had us doing, and there was Steve going, yeah, we're fucking partying tonight, huh? This is great, man. He's and now Steve Downs on K-West, Los Angeles, and then bang comes Blue Bayou, which is a ballad, man. And Steve's standing there like, whoa, we are rolling. Well, you know, we're really rocking and rolling. You really knew there was a problem, you know. All right, so No Time Like the Present. Let me get this thing here. Now, this is going to be a stream. There it is. And we don't have any real video to go along with the show. You're just going to have to look at these slides of football players. You know, we used to have like a Hillbilly Football Conference or Phil Henry Football League. We called it alternately. We used to have slides with like logos. I don't think we have those anymore. Or do we?
We may. I just don't know. You know, let me look and see. Don't worry, we'll get to it here in just a second. I'm looking for stuff right now.
Look at this. See, here's some cornball that I just found.
Yeah, some real cornball this shit is. No question. No question about it.
The hell? All right. So there's that. I found a couple of little things. You're no good. You're no good. You're just shit. Baby, you are shit. Here we go. Oh, here it is. Here's the helmets from the first ever Dickman Bowl. The cavalry and the... Here, let me just... What? Okay.
What? I gotta tell you something, Eddie. You're a real fucking clown. You know that?
You're talking to me?
Yeah, I'm talking to you.
You're the guy that's got the squeak voice.
Yeah, let's just put that aside for a minute. You got no fucking balls for the job. That's your problem.
All right, now check this out. There. Oh, wait a minute. Wait a goddamn... Hey, wait a fucking minute. So that's the... on the left is the Flaming Cavalry. On the right is the L.A. Tan. They had like a sun with sunglasses. And then the Flaming Cavalry was like a cavalry guy on a horseback. That is a very blurry frame. It's not very good. But those are that was the helmet that the Tan had. We used Madden. I forget which one. The last PC game they did. When we did this 2012, I think they had a 2012 PC. They stopped doing the PC games. And I stopped doing the games because I didn't want to fucking do a whole goddamn PlayStation setup, whatever the fuck I had to do. And it probably would have been a lot easier. But plus, you know, we recorded it. Then we went back and edited it. It took a long fucking time. It was a four-hour job doing these shows, doing these games. 4 hours just producing the game. Then we also added, like, we had a sports show, Lions Line. And, you know, shit like that. We had pregame and postgame.
I mean, I'm here to tell you, Jack. It was some bad shit, man.
What is this? That's a different game. You're no good, you're no good, you're no good. Christ, you are foul. I'm feeling better. What is that? The San Antonio Range Riders and the, the Milwaukee Lions. That's the Lions helmet on the left. That's like a lion face. I think their goddamn logo got better as the years went by. And I've got it, man. Man, I'm out here now, okay? Here we go. Let me see here, man. See how this starts. Testing 1, 2. Testing 1, 2, 3, 4.